It's a Saturday night on ice, and those desert dogs are yiping themselves all the way back to Glendale. It's Saturday, February 18th, 2017. The Sharks beat the Coyotes 4-1. This is Pucknology After Dark, your interactive post-game show for your San Jose Sharks. Nonetheless, if you want to be part of the show, please do so by using the hashtag PucknologyAD. You can also join us in the YouTube chat or app, where a lot of our fans join us in. We will read throughout the show your comments throughout the night. You can also follow us on Twitter at Pucknology, at PuckEye14, along with iReadPucknology and AJ underscore Strong. Yes, the man, the myth, the legend is here tonight. Nonetheless, we want to remind you that Pucknology After Dark is presented by Audible, an Amazon company. We partner with them to provide a free 30-day trial where you can search 180,000 audiobooks, and you can completely get one free no matter what you do with the service, whether you want to keep it or not. So log on to audibletrial.com/PAD. You get a free book, you help support the show, and everybody wins like the Sharks tonight. That's audibletrial.com/PAD. That being said, let's make sure you also know to make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel down below or over to the side. For more news and opinions, visit pucknology.net. And of course, always follow all of our social media channels as listed down below. With that, good evening, everyone. Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday night. I'm Eric Curry. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. And going around the room, let's say hello to the guy that's slightly distracted by watching the San Jose Barracuda play in the Ontario rain. It's Ian Reid.
Hey, everyone. How you doing? Yeah, watching the Barracuda. Barracuda are up 2-0 over the Ontario rain right now. Ontario rain are trying to get back into at least second place in the Pacific Division with if they could beat the Barracuda tonight. But the Barracuda are looking to extend it to 11.
And making a return to After Dark, rocking the Burnsy Team Canada jersey from the World Cup, it's AJ Strong.
Can we all just admit now that Finteract is 1,000 times better than Chomp Forsaken? Can we all just agree on that right now, please?
Yeah. I have no sit-in plan for Finteract.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad one of the ones I come up with actually works out. All right. Well, that being said, good evening, everyone. The Sharks won 4-1 over the Desert Dogs, and no, we're no longer counting them. We finished up with 15 tonight, which is surprisingly low from Brody, Randy, and Bakes.
It's because they knew I was low on beer tonight.
But things got started about halfway through the period. Burnsy gets his 26th on the year, just making nice little crossovers. And folks, if you ever want to know what how to do crossovers, watch that replay of Burnsy. That was a nice one, AJ.
Oh, it was stellar. We can talk about that. I'm still in awe of the fourth line tonight. But they came out ready to play. I think they were pissed off that they hadn't beat these guys in regulation all season, especially when you look at where they are in the standings, and they came out on fire. I think the first 30 minutes, they were awesome. It started to tail off a little bit and get a little sloppy, especially going into the third, but give it up for them. They got them done, and to Hockey Jerk, you said they'd lose.
And they didn't, because 5.5 minutes later, the milkman delivers a nice goal. And like you said, AJ, the fourth line coming through tonight with all three goals, except for the last one on the power play. Melker Carlson with his 8 of the year from Haley and Dylan at 14:26. Ian, impressive tonight from the fourth line.
Yeah, I mean, every dog has his day. Michael Haley had his today for sure. I thought it was a good game. Like they came out, they played hard. But yeah, I mean, that fourth line was something else tonight. It definitely carried the water, which you need some nights, and the Sharks are going to need more of that if they're going to be seriously in the playoffs. I mean, that secondary scoring hasn't really been good enough this year. You can talk about all the depth and everything, but if none of that depth can put the puck in the net, it's not going to matter come playoff time.
Yeah, and speaking of depth putting the puck in the net, Michael Haley on a nice one-timer from Martin and Carlson. He gets his first of the year, a guy that's been, we'll say, controversial, AJ, as to why he's in the lineup when others have suggested that, you know, there are better talented players, but Haley's fitting in with this fourth line.
Haley, that Haley right there is called value for dollar. For what he's being paid, what he's being asked to do, he's exceeding his value for dollar. You would almost expect him to be more of a Mike Smith, or Mike Smith, who am I thinking of? Who wore 18? Mike Brown. Yeah, you would assume he'd be more of a Mike Brown guy, but he's bringing stuff. Now, would I like to see Carpenter on that fourth line? Oh, sure. But Haley's getting it. He's one of those guys that are just far exceeding expectations this season.
Definitely. I mean, it's crazy. Now, all that being said, you know, they had a hiccup. Hansel, potential future Shark, is, if you want to talk to rumors, had that one goal. We won't talk about that too much. Just happened to go in. And then Bernsey, power play goal to finish off the Coyotes 4-1. Very nice quick play to get it done. Well, you know, we could talk about the third line. We could talk about Bernsey having a two-goal game. Let's talk about how delicious the goaltending was tonight. Aaron Dell looked phenomenal, stopping 36 of 37 shots.
Yes. Can we all put to bed the whole, the Sharks need to look for a backup goalie going into the playoffs? Can we finally put that to bed?
We're looking at you, East Coast Riders.
Yeah. Let's put that false narrative to bed, that alternative fact away. the Sharks have themselves a backup to go into the playoffs, and a guy who should potentially get six starts in March, 16 games in 30 days. You got it. And how many, one, two, three, four, five back to back, in March, you got to get him at least six starts. And he continually proves that he's ready to go. And I think Jones kind of has proven here and there that he could use the rest. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I mean, Aaron Dell has done nothing wrong. Like, every time he's come in the net, like, he's never, I don't feel like Aaron Dell's ever lost the Sharks a game. You know, even games that he's lost that he's been in net for, either, you know, the team didn't play in front of him or he came in to relieve just a crappy, out-of-control situation to begin with.
Yep.
So I don't know what else Aaron Dell has to do to prove to people that he's legit. Like, I don't, you know, especially after that last loss, like, people are talking about, like, calling up Grosnick, and I'm like, what in the hell? Like, well, why? You know, like, I get Troy Grosnick's having a good season for the Barracuda, but, you know, like, what does Aaron Dell have to do to prove that he's a good enough backup for this team? He doesn't have to be the starter. No one's asking him to be Martin Jones. He just has to come in and do good when he's called on, and he's done it every time he's gone to net.
Right? And the thing that I love that you brought up the Philly game, you've heard that kind of cliche or whatever, that goalies on occasion have to steal games. They have to steal a win for a team that's not playing well. I felt like versus Philly, the Sharks stole the win from Dell that night. The Sharks, yes, should have said, but they stole it from Dell. World's okayest goalie, baby.
Last year on the Barracuda, I mean, Dell's the only reason that the Barracuda made the playoffs. He literally dragged the Barracuda in kicking and screaming. They did not want to go. Dell dragged them in.
Yeah, and they almost backed out of the playoffs. They had that final game of the season before they clinched it and then eventually lose to Ontario.
And speaking of kicking and screaming, you can see Ian has a co-host tonight.
His son is having a good time, wants to jump in on it. Speaking of the Barracuda, we'll talk about how many guys have come up this season from the AHL. LeBanc's been up here. Meyer just got sent down. He's playing tonight against Ontario. Carpenter has played well. Goodrow got into one game against Winnipeg. Sorensen got an assist in his first game. Mueller had a goal and assist in his four games. Tim Heed had that one game against Calgary where he essentially had to play a lot more than he was expected to because of the lineup snafu. But we'll talk about the one that was called up tonight, and that was Nikolai Goldobin. I thought he had a pretty solid game considering defensively, definitely got some chances. AJ, the only thing that made me frustrated, I think, was that he had a pretty much a partial breakaway, and then he dropped past it to Paul Martin. What are you doing, Nikolai?
I didn't have much of a problem with that play if Martin gets the puck back to him much faster. I feel
or
like
if that's Brent Burns.
yeah, that true. Yeah, no doubt. I felt like that just it. Martin that was the last thing Martin was expecting. I think Martin was ready to just like go to the net and try to find a rebound once Goldie put it on net. I think it was the last thing Martin was expecting. But if Martin gets that right back to Goldobin, I think he probably has a really good chance of putting it in. But aside from that, yeah, Kid had a good game. Are we still missing Donskoy? Sure. Yeah. but it's just I think Sharks fans should feel most Sharks fans have to feel far more confident than they ever have in the last two decades with the farm system and what they have coming up. And I think it also helps, of course, that the Barracuda, that they're local now. It's not this, you know, kind of secondary thought back east in Worcester. So, and maybe that also helps, too, that when they get that call-up, like, they're playing on NHL ice all the time at the Shark Tank. You know, so they get used to that ice surface. So when they get the call-up, that, you know, it's a small detail, but every little bit counts.
Yeah, I thought Goldie, like, he looked a little rough to start, I thought. Like, you could definitely see some nerves there. But once he settled into his game, I mean, he's really good. I put a tweet out tonight where it's like, you know, a lot of people, like, you might be surprised that Goldobin didn't take that shot. But he actually has 23 assists for the Barracuda this year to 13 goals. So he has a good playmaking acumen. And I think it goes just kind of under the radar how good he can be for playmaking ability. I know a lot of people think big shooter. And I think another thing too is I think like he's a guy that wants to stay up. He's a competitive guy. And I sometimes wonder because, you know, of the early narratives around Goldobin, you know, it's like, I don't want to take this shot. I'm going to give it up because I got to prove I'm not a selfish Russian. And yeah, you know, I sometimes wonder if that comes into play a little bit.
And he also got Goldobin had the least amount of ice time tonight.
Yeah.
So.
Very interesting. On the stats, the Sharks go 1-for-2 on the power play. I thought the second unit on that first. I thought the second unit on that first power play looked really promising. They started out first, but then when the first unit came out for the final 40 seconds, they were hemmed in their own zone. Which was frustrating. But the quick face-off one from Jumbo to a little tap from Couture over to Burnsy to get that shot on was pretty nice.
Can we cover the quick quote from the room from Haley tonight, which is great? For those of you who aren't aware, you know, Haley had a goal and an assist, so a fight away from a Gordie Howe hat trick. And Haley saying, who would have thought that was the one out of the three to get a Goldie Howe hat trick that I didn't get?
No doubt. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
Yours isn't wrong.
Yeah. here's a question that's kind of come up on the chat a couple of times, most recently by our friend Laurel. Okay, so does Dell start tomorrow? Or do they not get in the same routine that they've gotten into with Jones wearing him down?
No, I think Jones totally gets to start tomorrow. Do I agree with it? I think it's debatable, but it's you rarely start a goalie two games in a row. And, you know, Jones hasn't played since Wednesday. So I would think 3 days off is pretty serviceable. And they got to be fired up for Boston with Jumbo 2 points away from getting 1,000. So,
yeah, Jumbo got the assist on the power play goal late in the game to make it a 4-1. So he's now at 998. He's two away. So both former Boston Bruins will have something to play for tomorrow. And don't forget, it's a 5:30 start on NBCSN.
Yep, yep, yep. And, you know, we are a few minutes into this. So if you're new here, Eric.
You got it. Make sure you subscribe down below. And let me get the graphic back up. Make sure you subscribe down below or to the side. We are your Interactive Sharks post-game show after every game. So make sure you hit us with that. We welcome all those who finish watching Brody and Kersey on post-game. When we saw Brody for that first segment without anybody, I tweeted him. I was like, hey, do you need some help? We're here for you, bud. But nonetheless, make sure you subscribe and tell your friends and tell everybody else. Our next goal would love to be over 500 before playoff time. So by all means, let us know and tell us what you think about us. And you don't have to be too mean about it. But...
yeah, you don't have to be like the mainstream media and hurt our feelings, man.
Yeah.
Is like Kubro on vacation or something? I mean, Kyle McLaren a few times, now Kurz. Like Ray
Brody,
Ratto is too busy.
To quote Brody, which is also a quote for like half the Giants season, Kubro is on assignment. I think he coaches the Junior Sharks as well, so he might be off doing that in the tournament.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that's Jester Chivo's asking for an update. Can we have an update for the Barracuda and Ontario Reign, Mr. Reed?
2-0 Barracuda, about 13 minutes left.
In the third period. So the Cuda are up 2-0 in the third, hoping to extend their streak to 11. I'm going to need to look this up, but that might be, if they win tonight, might be an organizational record. I don't think the Sharks have won 11 in a row before. And I'm
Last
not.
Just insanity.
Then I don't think the Barons or the Thoroughblades.
Oh, no. This is already the longest winning streak among any AHL IHL affiliate.
Yeah. That's but awesome. I don't think the Sharks have ever won 11. Now it's 4-0.
My stream might be behind.
Yeah. Might be behind.
Sorry, guys.
For Ian. That's okay. That's all right. Just keep us posted on who, if it is 4-0, let us know how much or who scored tonight. All right. So let's see here. Anything you wanted to cover about this game, AJ?
I'm just tickled to death that the power play at least found the score sheet. You know how much I've been beating that drum all year. So nice to see that. Nice to see the Sharks play, like I said, energy, a lot of energy to open the game up and kind of, to just dominate early and take that lead and kind of make a statement that, you know, we're here, we're ready to play. Just that fourth line was just unbelievable. It just felt like a good, consistent effort tonight. There was something else that popped in my head for a second now, and of course I forgot. Oh, the fact that they played a penalty-free game.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So you throw in all those things, you know. Score on the power play, penalty-free game. That's, you know, just a nice, clean, all-around good effort. And, you know, it just felt pretty balanced tonight.
And they played a solid game, too. I think they came out, like you said, early on with some passion. And I think they kind of had the whole, okay, we haven't beaten these guys in regulation, for crying out loud. Let's get this done here.
Okay, so evidently the Cuda are actually up 2-0. And the comments earlier were alternative facts. 1.5 million people are in Ontario watching them.
Wow, that's a huge crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, Barons was looking at the San Antonio game. That's okay. We'll let it slide.
It happens. You know what? You made a mistake and you corrected it as soon as you were aware that it was a falsehood. It's more than we can say for our president right now.
Oh, hey, wow. You looking at the ice time, you mentioned that Goldobin had the lowest ice time at just a shade under 12 minutes. Haley had 14:51.
Right.
But I mean, he had more ice time than Joel Ward had tonight. That's crazy.
Well, Joel Ward can get a goal and then he can have the 14 minutes. Otherwise, he gets the 10.
And the other thing that's nice, too, when you talk about time on ice, the defense was very balanced tonight. You didn't see Burns hitting 26, 27, you know, like Drew Doughty numbers tonight.
No, I mean, Martin was the most used defenseman tonight at 22:05, and then Vlasic at 20:42, and then Burnsy at 20:54. It was completely balanced around. And even on the forwards wise, I don't think anybody, I think Jumbo at 17:33, that was their most used, forward. So that's nice to have to go with. You want to have that balanced attack, roll those four lines. And, hey, when your fourth line's contributing three goals to the effect, that's what you want. That's what you need. And if they can play like this, that's amazing. And it'll be huge come playoff time.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Chester pointing out, last time Puck Guy made a joke about Trump, the feed was cut early. Hashtag Russian hacked.
You know what? I think what happened was I was trying to stop the screen share. So, by the way, thank you, Google Hangouts, for destroying the program app that we use to show graphics on the show. Terrific. Otherwise, the show would have gone on for a while. Sorry, Rocket.
Cheryl pointing out Kuda now going on the power play with 10:20 left. So Ian keeping an eye on this developing situation
I am.
Here in Los Angeles. Back to you, Eric.
Ontario. Thank you very much, AJ. Haley tied with 7 for most forward shifts in the third. Yeah. No.
How could you not reward the fourth line tonight?
No. Exactly. Melker Carlson with the goal and 2 assists. Haley with the goal.
And Tierney with the post. I mean, Tierney came this close to having one tonight. How awesome would that have been? Dude, you want to talk about walking around the locker room stroking it? The fourth line guys would have came into that locker room. If Tierney gets that, they would have been looking at, especially the top six guys, just walking by going, how'd you do tonight?
What's interesting is I don't think the top line got a shot on goal until like late the second period. And after two periods, I think Marlowe only had one shot on goal for the second line. So it's interesting to see how that's happened. My thing is, considering how Marlowe can be hot and cold, and Bodker is just on the toughest luck streak in his career, do you think Logan should have different line mates, because maybe that's hindering his offensive prowessness?
Oh, he just needs Donskoy back.
Yeah, that's for sure. Which we don't know yet. I even try to talk to some people that I know. When's Donskoy coming back? We haven't heard anything about DeMelo either. I mean, I'm sure they're coming back. They're not going to come back tomorrow, obviously.
Donskoy's supposed to be back sometime after the bye week. Like, I think the week after the bye week, I think, is Donskoy's scheduled back.
And we still don't know about DeMelo?
I have no idea.
Gotcha. Kind of put a bow on the game. Guys, what did you think of the throwback Kachina-style jerseys tonight?
The Picasso made the return. And funnily enough,
the Coyotes.
The Coyotes tonight played like it was 1996.
Yep.
No.
Well, that would be actually better than what they did before.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I always get a kick out of whenever an NHL team, rolls out a heritage jersey. If the if the Ducks are playing with their original, the
eggplant and jade.
Well, yeah, the duck bill bullet hole logo. I mean, that's such a just a great logo. There's a couple others here and there. It's funny, like there's not a lot. I would say, like, you Detroit wearing a heritage thing, you just kind of go meh, but the Arizona change was so drastic.
Right.
Oh yeah.
It's nice to see that the Anaheim change was very drastic. San Jose, to an extent, was kind of drastic. So I love that. My only kind of bone to pick on this, they should have the Sharks wearing heritage stuff too. I mean, and if you're gonna go full blown heritage, this was at Arizona, mm-hmm. put them in white. And have the Sharks play, in road colors like they used to. Now, I'm not a fan of that per se. I always think you should wear your colors in your own barn. I understand that the NHL and in some other team or some other sports, they liked it where the team would wear whites, the home team would wear whites at home because then you could see the different colors around the league coming in.
Meh.
I can kind of get that, but no.
I feel to me, if your colors are different enough, then you should just like look at nobody's mistaking teal for
orange.
For black space coyote, exactly. Right?
Yeah,
so just that, wear your colors all the time unless you need to wear white because your sweaters are that similar.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that won't work for the NHL because they want you to buy all the jerseys. But I still.
Yeah, if the Devils are playing the.
Blackhawks
or the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah,
it's kind of like okay, I get it, but I still feel like you wear your home colors at home, but I do think that when you are going to do one of these heritage or when a team does the heritage jersey thing, both teams should be in them, and it's not like you're not going to be even if it's for one game. It's not right. like you wouldn't be able to auction those puppies off. For charity or so,
the Coyotes only wear them like two or three times a year. And the same thing with the Kings with mm-hmm. their, I think they're going yellow this year.
See, and that's the way to do it.
It is show them off like for a few games. Like the Sharks last year had like six. I mean, if they could have done three this year, that would have been cool.
I think that's perfect. You pick like three kind of special games that
didn't the Kings dust off the Burger King sweaters this year, or was that
they wasn't did that for the warm
for the rain? Oh, it was no, for warm.
And then, I know the rain. Rain them,
yeah, the rain wore them like last night.
Yeah.
Chester Chivo asking, and I wanted to clear this up. Why were we in teal last Saturday in Philly? The Flyers have a special 50th anniversary jersey that's custom for this year. Kind of like what the Sharks did last year with the heritage sweater. And for some reason, they decided to have a white.
Because it's anniversary heritage. Jersey. It would have probably been home whites when they came in the league.
Right. So.
And isn't this the second time this season that the Sharks have worn teal on the road? I have a vague memory that they did it one other time early in the year.
I don't was think it, they did.
Was it against Anaheim?
No, they wore white. At home against Anaheim.
That's what it was. I knew there was
the
some.
The Ducks were in orange.
Yeah, okay. I knew there was some sort of inverse thing.
Right.
Okay, so I was half right.
I got your back, bud. So let's see here.
I like Rob's idea. It'd be interesting to see the Avalanche play in Nordiques jerseys for one game. I'd totally be down with that if it's the right opponent. Because that was one of the things that really kind of got under my skin and, granted, and I hate this word triggered, but of course I'm easily triggered on certain things, even though I think it's a dumbass word, but no, I thought one of the things that was so silly about last year's heritage jersey is one of the games that the Sharks were wearing their heritage was versus the Blue Jackets, a team that didn't fucking exist when the Sharks were wearing those jerseys. It just,
right.
It made zero sense to me. Like, no, you look at the history, it's you automatically wear heritage. If if you're going to pick six games or five games, you automatically do it against Detroit without question.
Right.
You have to do one against LA and Anaheim. And you know, maybe you look at the idea of past playoff performances. Maybe you'd wear Heritage versus Dallas. You know, there was some good games against Dallas in the 90s when they were wearing those. You know, it's like pick your spot. So that's what I would enjoy.
I mean, personally, I think
But then we would have lost all those games to actual rivals. How is that cool?
I mean, I think you should have a home and away jersey. You can have an alternate jersey, once 18, 19 rolls around. But I think you should also have, for like 3 games max, a Heritage jersey that you can rock on some of the games. I remember the Sharks' first year. I think the original six had all had alternate jerseys. They were all throwbacks. So you can have like those throwback classic specials where you have both teams wearing them.
Yeah,
I think that would be a great idea.
but I just don't want to get, you know, I don't want to get too nuts up in here just
No.
because, you know, I don't want to turn into like the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I think have like 7 different uniforms for both home and away. I mean,
Oh gosh, yes, they
it's
do.
so ridiculous.
They do.
And then you even see it in the NFL in the last year or so, where the Niners are wearing black jerseys for a couple games. I mean,
Disgusting.
it's overkill with some of this stuff. I think even the whole Black Thursday thing, I think that's has run its course. You just wear your teals at home, you wear your whites on the road, and there are three at max, 3 games, and you try to, you know, you take advantage of the calendar, and maybe if you play a game on President's Day, maybe that's the one you do a Heritage, or you know, but you pick a couple things that where it makes sense to try to do this whole
Yeah.
Heritage thing. But if you're gonna do it, go full fucking, you know, bonkers with it. Make the scoreboards look a little retro,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
you know, just go full blown with it and really try to
Completely
I want
agree.
CG transforming sharks. Right?
Yes.
Damn.
Yes. With that, let's go around the league right now. It was Minnesota 5, Nashville 2. In overtime, the Dallas Stars beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-3. In the Battle of Ontario, this was a good one, actually. Ottawa 6, Toronto 3. The Devils beat the Islanders 3-2.
What's going on with Vancouver and Calgary? Go Calgary.
It's still delayed.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Since you brought that up, Vancouver is
Oh,
leading 1-0
shit.
over Calgary with 12 minutes to go in the second period.
God damn.
You
What
asked
did you
for
get?
it.
No, I'm pissed off that Calgary's not winning and not about your retarded impression.
Hey.
Sorry.
Edmonton beat Chicago 3-1. Winnipeg also beat Montreal 3-1. In a shootout, Detroit beat Washington, but that might be a little too late for the Red Wings. And then Buffalo beat St. Louis 3-2. Games in progress right now. Like we said, Vancouver's up 1-0 on Calgary, and the Kings have tied it. It's now 2-2 between them and the Florida Panthers late in the second period. And Ian, an update for the Barracuda.
312 left in the third. Looks like the Barracuda are shorthanded.
Right, so they're hanging on.
Jester Chivo, Vancouver's first shot on goal came 12 minutes in, and it was a goal. Fucking Vancouver, dude.
Didn't we have that
Quiet.
again? It seems like that's a Sharks game.
We're all here for
Like
Puck
we're.
Guy's impressions and Kevin's turtlenecks.
Oh, and Ian's anger. That's right.
Yes.
Where was Christine asking an interesting jersey question? What's the jersey etiquette when you're attending a game in another bar when your team is not playing?
I just do what I want, man. I don't
Well,
care.
yeah,
You can do whatever you
that's
want,
because
but there's going to be some people who are like, "What the hell are you
that's
doing?"
mean. Well, I mean, see, it's just I only say this because you don't know what the situation is. You could have someone visiting, you know, you could have, say, a guy from Carolina coming to visit his friend in San Jose, for some reason. He's a big Canes fan, but when he's out here, the Canes don't happen to be playing here, but he'd still like to go see a hockey game. So he's gonna wear the jersey that he has.
Yeah.
He's gonna rep him wherever he is. So I really don't have a problem with that. I figure that's typically the reason most of the time. So
it's like
going
to a concert, man.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I was for some reason, if I was visiting some friends in LA and there was like a game versus, you know, I don't know, the Ducks versus Colorado or some shit like that. Well, that's actually a bad it's a bad one to look at because I actually have a Colorado Avalanche shirt. But if it was like Dallas versus Anaheim or something, I'd probably just walk in with a Sharks jersey or this, you know, just wear a Team Canada jersey and just be like, right. Fuck it. You know, it'd be just be like, you know what? You all suck. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. If I was going to do it, I'd probably wear like if I had like a jersey from like another league, like a junior jersey, I might wear that.
Yeah.
Always appropriate.
Throw all fucks to the wind and just wear a Chiefs jersey.
Who cares?
See, I mean, obviously, because I designed it, I would rock my San Jose State jersey, if anything.
Yeah, and that's cool too, because again, it's like a different league, so it's cool. Right. It's still hockey. Yeah.
Right.
Or wear my chum jersey. It's like, I'm just here for the beer, bitches.
let's see. Let's see what else is going on in the chat. Chris is going to be at Sharks Hurricanes next week, and he's going to be wearing a Sharks jersey.
I like Chris saying, wear a sleeveless baseball jersey to hockey. There you go. He might mean basketball. He just put b-ball, but when I see I you know, I kind of block out basketball, so. Oh, look at this. Asking, Chum has a sweater. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Yes, of course. AJ's very special. He got a Chum jersey. So, how much time left, Mr. Reed?
I have 20 seconds, but I'm sure it's done in reality.
All right. Yes. Here we go. Chum has a little bit of a hockey sweater, as they say on the holiday video. Oh, there went my windscreen.
Fix that up. Looks like the same style as the giveaway jerseys that we've seen with the Giants and the Warriors this year.
Actually, I think the Giants and the Warriors ones are actually a little nicer than this one.
Really? Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
All right. Ian's patiently waiting, and we'll get to a miniature version of Barracuda After Dark.
2-0 final?
Looks like it.
Cool.
Looks like it. All right. Welcome to Barracuda After Dark. Barracuda. Following a 2-0 win over the Ontario Reign, 11 straight wins for the Barracuda. Guys, I didn't tell you this, and I think it's time for me to do it. I think it's time for me to apologize to Roy Sommer.
Oh, somebody mark this down on a fucking calendar somewhere. Mark the fucking day today, February 18th at 8:35 p.m. Fuck guy finally saying, Roy, I was wrong.
Roy, it's about fucking time. That's all it is.
Doug Wilson, it's about effing time.
Yeah, I know. Overall, Roy hasn't had much. He hasn't turned lemons into lemonade, albeit since, wherever he was at, Kentucky, Cleveland, Worcester, Barracuda. But now that he has the talent, he's had, what do we have up? Like 7 Barracuda players come up this season, and they've contributed. They've had somewhat of a presence.
And hasn't there been one or two that were actually called up but didn't play? They were just it was like paper.
Like Joachim Ryan was one of them. Ian, who else?
Joakim Ryan for sure. I feel like everyone else that's come up has at least gotten a game, but Joakim Ryan definitely did not. Because I feel like, yeah, because I mean, he got into a game, Sorensen got into a game.
For some reason,
I
thought
can't
there
think of
was
anyone.
okay. I thought there might have been
Marco
one.
Mueller scored in the NHL this year before he scored in the AHL.
Yeah, go
I
figure
can't
that
make
out.
this stuff up.
Yeah, LeBanc, Meyer, Carpenter, Goodrow, Sorensen, Goldie, Mueller, Heave.
Yeah, Gaudreau got into a game. He did
So
get
eight
into a game.
players, to correct myself, eight players get called up. Ryan was called up, but hasn't played. But yeah, I mean, kudos to the minor league development team because let's be real here, they haven't produced too much, and now we're kind of reaping the benefits. And let's hope the development is still on the way up because I think there's still room for improvement. Let's not, get that. But guys, I've kind of mentioned this off the air before, but the Sharks could go for the organizational double here, which is unprecedented, especially since both teams are in the same playing the same arena.
They're gonna be
Yeah, let's let's start talking about that once playoffs start. I think that's a little too premature on that. Let's just talk about Burns going for the Norris, the Hart, and the Ross all at
All
one point.
right, we'll get to that. So
Can
Burns.
someone send somebody up to Edmonton to like I don't know, slew foot
I don't want to fight Milan
McDavid?
You'll get suspended only 6 games because you can try to gouge an eye out of an opponent and only get suspended for six.
Your three stars for your Barracuda game today is Troy Grosnick with the first star, obviously with the shutout. John McCarthy had a goal and got the second star, and Joakim Ryan with the assist got the third star.
And John McCarthy, another player that has played a game or two, not this season, but
Not
has
this
been up with
season.
the Sharks, here and there.
And Dell, obviously, too.
Oh.
No.
So yeah, welcome to Barracuda After Dark. This is where we all start popping beers and just, we go full on beer league now. Hey, speaking of the Barracuda, what the hell's going on March 12th?
They play a game.
Really? Nothing else really big going on that day?
No, but on March 11th, they're going to wear some special jerseys.
Oh, really?
They
That's true.
are. Yes, let me see if I can pull
Seems
this
like
up.
the date on that keeps changing, but okay, yeah.
It's March 11th. It's at 6 p.m. I
Oh.
gotta pull this up.
Well, for those of you who listen to the Pucknologist this week, I fucked up. It's March 11th, not March 12th.
No, it's kind of interesting because the Sharks will play on the 11th at 1 p.m. against Nashville. They will, oh, you know what? There was a ninth person, by the way, Danny O'Regan. That
Oh
was the
yeah.
other one.
Ah, Danny Regan.
Yeah, my bad on that. My apologies on that one.
So
Played
shit,
against New Jersey.
I gotta buy fucking tickets for the Nashville game too.
So Nashville plays the Sharks at 1 o'clock. And then at 6 p.m., the Barracuda will play the Nightcap. Yours truly inspired the Barracuda for their jerseys.
Versus the Grand Rapids Griffins.
And why can I not find this tweet anymore?
It's okay. For those of you who are new here, do us a favor, hit the subscribe button on Pucknology. Where whether it's there or wherever. And don't worry, if you're not here to watch us live, you can subscribe, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever, and get a replay of the audio stream of this later in life.
Yes, if you miss any of this outstanding, entertaining production, you can hit us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. We will find something for you. Obviously, there was a Pucknologist that came out a couple of days ago. There's going, Ian, or what are we doing for tomorrow? Or is it
No idea. I have no
a
idea. Just
semi?
we'll tell you which channel to watch tomorrow. Just watch this channel tomorrow for sure. No matter what happens, it'll be on this channel. Right. We'll see who shows up. It'll be fine.
Oh my God, dude. Chester Chivo just sending over a screen cap of where the Vancouver Canucks scored their first goal tonight. Very, very reminiscent of Owen Nolan versus the St. Louis Blues in the playoffs. Center ice, really? Baby. Center ice, baby.
Nice. And here is the jersey. My submission had a little more teal to it. But nonetheless, those are the jerseys that they came up with that they're crediting me with. So Saturday, March 11th at 6 p.m., it is a Barracuda blackout, and yours truly will be dropping the puck prior to that game.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to send me one of those nice black shirts.
And yes. If you know, you know, if you have any knowledge of how Puck Guy likes to drop an interconnect connection, this puck's going to be leaving a dent in the ice. He's going to drop it so hard.
Yes, or I'll just go all Gronkowski with the Worcester Sharks and, you know, split it in half.
Oh, my God.
Oh, geez. So, yeah, that's what's happening on March 11th. It's interesting because that weekend, it's Sharks at 1, Barracuda at 6. And then the next day, it's Barracuda at 1, Sharks at 7.
I love scheduling quirks.
So another back-to-back. And how would you like to be a Barracuda player? You play at 6 p.m., finish the game at 9 o'clock, and only 16 hours later, you got to play another game.
Dude, and you know what, though? If you're like a blue coat or concessions there, you're like, welcome to overtime, bitches.
That's right. Shark store employees are working a heck of a day, all night, all weekend, for that matter. So, yes, Chris says we spike the puck.
Kevin Lacey's saying, can't wait for the Barracuda to somehow print those shirts backwards like their inaugural game. Wait, what? They printed the shirts backwards on the end. I didn't even notice it.
Lacey, or yeah, get that one then. I got to see this.
You're talking about the one that has like the Pepsi logo on it and it says, you know, I was here or whatever. I was there. They printed the logo fucking back. I didn't even notice. Oh, that's funny. It's still, nothing will ever top the teal and white game. Who is whose side are you on? Oh my God.
Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?
Who is side on you? Oh my God.
WHO apostrophe S. Whose side you're on? Yeah, that was a bad one. I remember that. I was like, wait a minute, what? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Whose side are you on?
That was so great. It really was. It makes you wonder. Well, I don't know. It just makes you wonder who the hell was involved on that. Like, it was like, wait, what?
It's like, whoops.
Oh, the front is supposed to be on the back and vice versa. Oh, well. Well, who gives a shit?
It would make more sense to put the logo on the front. Like, it really would.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. But you know what? If it's a black shirt with just a Barracuda logo, if it's on the front or the back, I don't care. It's a free fucking shirt that I'm going to use to dry my car. What do I care?
Oh, jeez. All right, let's get to the end of this here. So tomorrow, 5:30, it is part of a quadruple header on the networks of NBC.
Question. Yes. That first game is not starting at 6 a.m. local.
No, it starts at 9 a.m.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I swear to God, Randy said said 9 Eastern. And I was like, did he just say 9 Eastern?
He did say 9 Eastern, I think it was.
Get some coffee on.
It is National Drink Wine Day. Maybe he was.
He started early.
Hey, they wanted to make last call, like everybody else said, right?
Chester Chivo, Betsy DeVos did those shirts.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Welcome to Political After Dark.
No, we'll have that on another channel. Holy crap. Oh, man. Yikes. Yeah, so the day starts off bright and early at 9 a.m. I'm trying to pull it up here. If NHL.com wants to work with me. It starts with a pregame at 9 a.m. Then at 9:30 Pacific time, it's the Rangers and Capitals, because why not? Followed by noon, it'll be the Red Wings and Penguins, because I guess the Flyers were off tomorrow. which is followed up at 3 p.m. on NBCSN by the Blackhawks, what a shock, against the Buffalo Sabres, because...
Well, the Penguins are busy?
Apparently the Penguins... No, the Penguins play the Red Wings, so...
Oh, where's the Capitals?
The Capitals are playing the first game at 9:30 against the Rangers.
Oh, who am I missing?
Flyers? I said the Flyers, yeah, the Flyers.
Okay.
So it's...
Gotta get the entire Metro Division in there.
Right. Capitals Rangers at 9:30 on NBC, your local NBC station, which out here, of course, is KNTV Channel 11. Detroit and Philly, or Detroit and Pittsburgh, sorry, at noon on your local NBC station. And then switch it over to NBCSN at 3 p.m. for the Hawks and Sabres. And, of course, to finish it off, it is Boston at San Jose at 5:30 on NBCSN. I would think that it would be Tom and Hetty.
Sounds like there's, so like, long story short, 8 teams are playing tomorrow on national TV. One of them is west of the Mississippi. Dear Lord.
Is Chicago west of the Mississippi?
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you get the point.
And of course, Vancouver plays Philly, so that's where Philly's at 7 p.m. Pacific. That'll be on NHL.tv for many of you. All right, so Sharks play Boston, hoping to avoid the collapse that they had when they went to Beantown. What to expect, Mr. Strong?
I expect somebody to get his 1,000th assist.
Which would require 2 assists on the night for Jumbo Joe Thornton. Ian, what do you...
Yep.
I think, yeah, we're going to see Martin Jones go back in net. I think we're going to see a strong Sharks game. And then when they come back, baby shit soft, like all these other teams have come back from the bye week, we'll be like, let's do a bye week. Why? They're so hot.
Well, I'm... Dude, if there's anything that can cure the bye week blues that seems to be permeating throughout the league, it's 2 things. We're playing Vancouver.
That's true.
And if I remember correctly, Vancouver has the same bye week.
Yes, so, no, they go on the same bye week. So,
yeah, so
maybe we'll both lose.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we can very well both lose. No, but I expect between the game that the Sharks played in Boston, I'm hopeful for that. You know that these guys want to get 2 things. Get the 1,000th assist out of the way going into the bye week, and you know they want to do it against Boston. I mean, that's the story. So get her done. Look for Jones to have a great game, and you know.
And empty the tanks. I mean, you're going to be off for 5
days. Exactly. And yeah. And the honeymoon's already over with Boston's new coach, so you know.
although I would think that it's Randy and Hetty tomorrow. It's okay to have more little of a bit of teal tinted glasses. It's not like Boston ever does that on their local broadcasts or anything.
Oh God,
dude! At least it's not another game versus LA where we have to, you know, sit through Jim Fox for 3 hours.
Oof. Yeah, I don't know. We have the whole playoffs to complain that Randy's not biased enough for the Sharks.
I don't mind Jim Fox.
I didn't mind him. The last time we played LA nationally, I didn't mind Fox the last half of the game. But the first half of the game, Jesus Christ. Like, Randy had to bring a crowbar to get a word in that first half. So at least he mellowed out. And if you looked on Twitter, I was not the only one with this opinion. No. It was more than a few were saying, dude, can we hear the other guy once in a while who's actually, like, you know, doing the play-by-play?
Hey, look at it this way. At least it wasn't Brian Hayward.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So, all right. God, so we'll be
the worst.
Oh, God.
Him and Niles.
Let's complain about something else Christine says.
Any? Yeah, absolutely. What is there?
He set that one up for them, Christine.
Yeah, man. Let me see. You got a pissed off, angry Canadian, and you got me that just hasn't found a drum yet that he doesn't like to bang on. I mean, come on, dude. Like, yeah, just start putting random fucking questions in the chat, man. I got all night. 3-day weekend, bitches. I got all night. Let's go. I got all, and I haven't been on Pucknology After Dark in like 3 weeks. So, yes. You know.
What is going on with this power play?
It passes over there. It passes over there. It doesn't want to shoot. What's the deal?
Oh my God, stick with Short House.
A couple of things, broadcaster-wise. Let's send our best to LA Kings broadcaster Bob Miller, who had a stroke around the All-Star game.
I thought it was Strader.
Strader
just finished chemo.
Yeah, Strader just finished chemo. He's doing 5 games for the Dallas Stars on this homestand, but it was great to see him. I posted a thing on Twitter when he was doing the national games on Fox back in 95 between the Kings and the Sharks. That was fun to look at, but all the best to Strader. Much love to Bob Miller with the Kings. My goodness.
Ian Reed from Kevin Lacey. If Goldobin is on the Sharks at the time of the bye week, it is a CBA violation to send him down?
No, they can send him down if they want.
Okay.
Gotcha. They'll send him down the night before. They'll just finish the game, send him down. I think if they kept him on like past the, I think it's like it's noon Eastern maybe or 3 Eastern. There's like a deadline where you can send. You know, you can make all your moves for the day as far as like waivers and whatnot. As long as they send him down before, I think noon Monday, he's fine.
Cool. Rob saying Randy Hahn, Andy Brickley, and Brett Hedekin are the announcers tomorrow.
So it's a hybrid broadcast. Brickley's from the Boston.
Can I ask a personal question of Mr. Reed?
Sure.
Are you wearing like a cardigan sweater? What's going on with you?
Well, I have just a hoodie.
Oh, it's just a hoodie. For a second there, it looked like a cardigan. I'm like, oh my God, if we could get Ian like always wearing cardigans next to Lacey's turtlenecks. Oh my God.
Chris is going, what's the deal with Sharks Air? I don't know what the deal is with Sharks Air. One thing that we will be doing on the bye week is Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We are going to play...
Boom, boom, boom.
We're going to play Sharks match game, and there will be some surprise DMs for some people, and we'll have prizes and everything that I'm shelling out with my own money. So let's make sure you're there. But yeah, it's going to be fun. AJ, you're in.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
Yes. He's going to be playing the role of Charles Nelson Reilly will be AJ Strong. Yeah. Rocket Backhander will be playing the role of Brett Summers. We'll say that for sure. And
hi, Gene. Well, hi, Gene. I don't think that's something you have.
I know Kevin's is going to be a part of it. We still need to get commitments from 3 ever people in the technology organization to do this, but if you haven't seen Match Game, YouTube the heck out of it,
or watch NBC this week. I mean, they've rebooted it with Alec Baldwin as the host, ABC. ABC, yeah, and it's been phenomenal. Holy crap!
Laurel's asking what game show announcer's voice will Eric use. Oh, come on. Get ready to match the stars.
Oh my God. Chris already thrown out a question. AJ got so drunk.
No.
He told Randall Hahn to blank. Oh my God.
Yes, Kevin. Well,
but of course you have to have the you know, how drunk was he?
He was so drunk. No, yes. Mm. Trust me, there's already questions for that. I need to reach out to a few of you that won't be on the show to answer the audience match questions because that'll be.
I hope this goes off as well as we
Jeopardy. Hope it planned.
Well, as Jeopardy did, because I don't even. Just to let you know, if you are chosen to play the game, just know that my first match to any question is going to be potato.
God, and
you'll get that if you watch the Jeopardy episode.
Oh gosh, go back to our season premiere when I somehow convinced these people to play Jeopardy, and some thinking that that Jersey math would be a good for all these guys.
Oh, sucked.
Yes. Ian, damn it. Yeah, so match game Wednesday night, 7 p.m. on the After Dark channel. So
fucking
final thoughts, Mr. Reed.
Join us tomorrow for something.
If that doesn't convince you to join us, nothing will.
Made me hit the subscribe button. There you go, man.
It's gonna be epic, no matter what.
Your final thoughts.
Hey, get the win tomorrow. Empty the tanks. Get Jumbo his 1,000th, and be on the lookout for an interview with John Totora releasing on Monday. On the Pucknologist. Follow at Pucknologist on Twitter.
And for more, you can also subscribe here. After we do this, after every game, I believe we're in the 170-something consecutive games now for Pucknology After Dark. For more Sharks news and opinions, visit Pucknology.net. Like I said, hit the subscribe button for After Dark. Also hit the subscribe button for Pucknology Writers Room. They usually go every Sunday night, although with the game going into...
What do they plan on doing over the next four of the next seven Sundays... Our Sharks games.
They take over After Dark is usually the plan.
Well, if Lacey's not wearing a turtleneck, don't let him on.
But make sure you follow us on all of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram, iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, MySpace. Yes, there actually is a MySpace.
There is. I got to go do something with the MySpace when I get around to it.
Yes.
And you also have to make Lacey do the Barracuda dance. I've seen it in person. It's disturbing.
Oh, man. Yes, if you don't know what that is, you have to go to a Barracuda game. Might I suggest the one on March 11th at 6 p.m.?
Hey, now.
They also play Monday on the Against the Stars NSAP Center.
And that is Frenzy's birthday bash. And already attending, confirmed, SJ Sharkey, Lucille, and Q from the San Jose Earthquakes.
Yes.
Nice.
Absolutely. All right. With that, we shall let you go. In fact, if you haven't seen the game, you can turn it on to CSN California right now. They're replaying it as we speak. So until tomorrow night, somebody will be here for this. I'm Eric Kura. You can follow us on Twitter at Pucknology. And until then, keep it real, keep it tight, keep it real. Wow. No. Pucknology After Dark is not on Ashley Madison. We will not be doing that.
But the Kuda dance is a double jerk off.
Wow.
Hey now.
Until tomorrow night. Have a great night, everyone. And we'll see you at the tank.
Cute dick.